Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. You know that one, right? Psalm 118. And that's exactly how I feel. This Thanksgiving weekend, what a great day to worship and praise God. No better day than the current. My name's Dan. I'm on staff here at Bismarck Baptist. And it's a joy to welcome you to worship. We're so grateful that you're here. These last 5 weeks have been so, so good. We've been in a sermon series titled Abide, and it's kind of a funny story how this sermon series came to be. So we had a whole game plan, a roadmap laid out for a particular sermon series, which is entirely different than the Abide. Totally different. And we had, right before we were going to start that sermon series, we had a guest preacher join us. And what did he talk about? He talked about abide. He talked about drawing near to God. Specifically, he talked about distraction. And he said, do not allow distraction to pull you away from God. So what happened? Brian totally abandoned his entire sermon series, and he got a little distracted and said, we're going to go in this direction. I say that kidding, and here's why. I believe that Pastor Brian was wholeheartedly abiding when he chose to scrap that last sermon series and say, we're heading in this direction. He was walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit because these last 5 weeks have been so powerful. He was so in tune with where the Holy Spirit wanted to go. Absolutely practicing this message, abide. That first week, Brian then talked about, he compared and contrasted abounding and abiding. He talked about how God calls us to great things, big things, awesome things. But he also held us accountable in our need to rest and our need to seek God. The next week, Brian gave us a message on character and righteousness. And we talked about the importance of repentance and eliminating sin that pulls us away from God. And then we talked about forgiveness and how we're called to forgive even in the most impossible circumstances. Last week we talked about putting our reliance on God, our dependency on God, and trusting in God that He will provide. So this week we're going to finish up this Abide series as we talk about Thanksgiving. As we talk about gratitude. I couldn't think of a more fitting topic for this weekend for more than one reason, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, yes, but I don't know if there's anything that can teach us how to abide better than gratitude, than thanking God for His unmatched, undeserved kindness and just reflecting on God's goodness and drawing near to Him as our source and our provider. It's easy to be thankful on Thanksgiving. I woke up Thursday morning, and I was pumped up. Ask my wife, all day. I was grateful for everything. I was grateful to be married to my beautiful wife, and I was grateful for my 4 kids who are crazy and wild. And I was grateful that I got to go to my parents' house and spend all day with my brothers and sisters. I was so grateful all day long. But it needs to be so much more than that, doesn't it? Gratitude ought to be a foundational daily activity that we use to draw us back to God. Gratitude one day a year, that's not abiding. Because abiding is our nearness to God always. Being grateful always, praising God always,
And when we allow gratitude to draw us back to God, it brings us to a place of humility, really. And that's where God wants us to be. Are we preoccupied with what we don't have? Or do we daily thank God for what we do have? So the Bible has a lot to say about gratitude and just the importance of a grateful heart. And we are going to look at gratitude through the eyes of two different individuals, through Moses and through David, both of which are going to kind of teach us two different levels of what it means to be grateful. And so we're going to dive right into it. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is going to be our first text for the morning. So this text takes place near the end of Moses' life. Moses has a fascinating life, just wildly fascinating. From baby in a basket to adopted by Pharaoh living in a palace to freeing the Israelites to putting a rod down and splitting the Red Sea to meeting God on top of a mountain. How many of you can claim that one? Fascinating life. And so Moses, they're approaching the promised land. They've been wandering in the wilderness, approaching the promised land, but Moses does not get to enter. And this is kind of it. This is the end of Moses' life. He's starting to deliver his final words of wisdom to the Israelites. And it's a word of caution. Let's pick it up. Verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land with brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey. I want to go there. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And now comes the caution. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, then your heart, I think we missed a line there. Let me go back. Multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of slavery. Here's what Moses is doing. Moses is saying, before you go there, you have to promise me that you will not forget who brought you. And I'm not talking about Moses. Moses is saying, you can't forget God. Moses just spent 40 years wandering through the wilderness with the Israelites, and he's got a pretty good idea as to what their tendencies are, and their tendency is to forget all about God and what God's done for them, freeing them from Egypt, providing the water, providing the manna, but they were always complaining and forgetting what God had done. So Moses, in his words of wisdom, he explains to them that they're going to a better place, and then he warns them. God's gifts alone will not give you joy, is what he says. Maybe that's the message for us, too. God's gifts alone will not give you joy. If we don't see it. God's gifts will not give us joy unless they are paired with gratitude. unless we're able to recognize it. If we don't look at our blessing from God with gratitude, what happens is it turns into a place of pride, a place of entitlement that robs us of our joy, thinking that we did something special to earn it, to deserve it. You know, a grateful heart is not something that's natural to us. It's not something that we intrinsically have. You don't believe me? Ask anybody who has kids under the age of 5. Kids are not grateful. Like that, it's. I could spend hours preparing food for them, and I put it on the table, and they are not grateful for it. It's something that we have to teach them and grow up. I could go buy a bundle of bananas. Is that what you call that? Is that a bundle of bananas that you would buy? I could buy a bundle of bananas, and the kids could eat them all in one day. And then the next time I go grocery shopping, I'm going to buy 2 bundles of bananas, and they all go bad. Why? Because they don't like bananas anymore. Kids are not grateful, okay? So gratitude is something that we have to intentionally practice to grow, to build up, because if we grow in blessing, but we do not grow in gratitude, have we really gained anything? If God gives it, but we don't see it, will it make us happy? See, happy people aren't people that have everything. Happy people are those that are grateful for everything, for what they do have. We don't instinctively have this ability, so we must be intentional with practicing it. So I kind of broke this down into 2 different levels. So level 1 is very simple. Level 1, thank you, God, for the, say the blessing. Acknowledge the blessing. What are you thankful for? Recognize that God provided and thank him for it. When we sit down at a dinner table, we don't just start diving in and start eating. No. We say a blessing. We thank God for what he provided. In the Weigel House, it looks like this. We have about 10 different songs that we rotate between when we say our before meal prayer. And we have a ton of fun with it. And each kid, we take turns as to who gets to say, who gets to pick out which prayer we're going to do for that before meal prayer. And we've got the Addams Family prayer, and we've got the Johnny Appleseed prayer, and we've got the Paw Patrol prayer, and we've got the cowboy prayer. That one's a favorite in our house. But here's what we're doing. We're teaching our kids, we're training them, we're building them up to understand that it is fun to give thanks to God. And our kids, they do. They love it. And this is part of the reason why I can't understand how some folks can just come to church and stand there with their arms crossed. Because I'm up here having fun, giving thanks to God, giving praise to God. It's fun to give thanks to God. When God prepares a table for you, feeds you with his faithfulness, feeds you with his word, invites you to his communion table, how could our praise be dead when he's given us so much? Moses, his message was simple. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. That's the chapter 8, verse 10. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord. That's basic, level 1 stuff, and most people don't even get that far. When you have eaten, praise God. It's like Moses is the wise old man just giving a lesson to a bunch of kids. But they don't know what they don't know. They're young in their faith. They don't know. They're level 1. Here's the basics of gratitude right here. Thank you, God, for the ... acknowledging God for whatever the blessing may be. Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you, God, for this warm home. Thank you, God, for my church family. Thank you, God, for your grace, for your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for providing for us. Moses teaches them to be grateful for God's provision. When I was a kid, I used to absolutely hate sitting at the kiddie table. And I don't know if your family does the same thing, but the table, like the adult table, was never big enough to hold everybody, right? And so they would put all the adults at the adult table, and the kids would have to go sit over here at this little folding table or the counter or whatever. So you'd have the adult, you'd have the kid table. I hated sitting at the kiddie table. Hated it. The adults have this feast, and the kids get chicken strips and mac and cheese. I don't want to sit at the kiddie table anymore. And that's kind of what I've been giving you so far. Entry-level gratitude type stuff. I want to go to the adult table. I want to go to the big kid table. And I can keep talking about this kiddie table stuff of gratitude. Actually, I probably can't. We'd probably just call it the end of the service. I can't really go much further than there. Or we can go to the adult table. We can go a level deeper. If you want to go deeper, say go deeper. All right. Then we met a man, his name was David. David had a much different life growing up. Much different background than Moses. David was raised a lowly shepherd boy. Smallest in his family, the just meek, nothing incredible. Nothing just given to him. When he was approached by Samuel and was anointed king over Israel. And the neat thing about David is David had this remarkable ability to never forget where he came from. No matter what would happen, David always came back to God, giving praise to God who had given this blessing to him. Even though his life was wildly dysfunctional, he always made his way back to God. David teaches us a more mature level of faith and gratitude. Mature is not just thanking God. I mean, my kids can do that. That's using good manners. That's being polite to God. Thank you, God. But David wanted to move us from the kiddie table to the banquet table. Moses teaches us when he blesses you, thank him. When he blesses you, remember him. When he blesses you, praise him. It's this transactional type gratitude. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have all that I need in you, God. I have everything I need in you. I want nothing else but your presence to be with you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You've heard this before, right? Probably at a funeral or something like that. But verse 4, it's very important. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are with me. You are with me. David wrote this in the valley. And even though I'm in the valley. You are with me. I will still abide in you. Level one says, thank you, God, for the blessing. Level two says, thank you, God, even though I'm in a valley, even though I'm in a dark place, I will thank you, even though. This is where you could have all hell breaking loose and be able to say, it's well with my soul. When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well. Even though my heart is broken, it is well. Even though my spouse has cancer, it is well. Even though I lost my child, it is well. It's well. Even though I'm going through hell right now, it is well. At the kiddie table, we thank God for what we can see. At the banquet table, we learn to trust God with what we can see. We learn to trust God with what we cannot see. We learn to trust God with what we do not understand. We absolutely, yes, we do. We have to thank God for the simple things, yes. But can we still thank him when our family falls apart? Can we still thank God when we lose our job? We go broke. When we don't know where our next meal's coming from. When we thank God for the only thanks God in the evidence of his presence, when we can see God working. But when we thank God, even though we recognize his presence in the presence of enemies. In this next level, we're no longer thanking God for his provision only. That's still there, but that's just the starting point. Level two, we move from focusing on God's provision to focusing on God's presence. Maybe I shouldn't ask this question, but are you sure you want to move from the kiddie table to the banquet table? Because when you move from the kiddie table to the banquet table, you will be surrounded by the presence of your enemies. And can you keep your eyes fixed on the presence of God, narrow and focused on the presence of God when you have the enemies all around you? This is what we were just singing about. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, that song said. Verse 5 from the 23rd Psalm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of my insecurities, in the presence of my fear, in the presence of my anxiety. You prepare a table for me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my addictions and my struggles and my shame and my pride. You prepare a table for me. And I am looking straight ahead at the presence of God with all of this garbage around me. I'm focused on you and only you, God. And if we learn to praise God in the presence of our enemies, what we're doing is we're conditioning our minds to be aware that if we are in the presence of enemies, the Lord has already prepared a feast for you. Our weapon against the enemy is our praise and our thanksgiving. Psalm 149:6 says this, let the praises of God be in their mouths like a sharp sword in their hands. our praise, our thanksgiving, our gratitude is a sharp sword against the enemy. The evil one trembles at the sound of God's holy church standing up to praise and thank God, no matter what happened this week. This is what maturity looks like, folks, when we can continue to praise God even though we are surrounded by the enemy on every side. I look around at this church and I see several people who have gone through things that are way more difficult than I ever have, and I can't imagine. And I'm so sorry that some of you have had to deal with that. And you're here, and you're still praising God, and you're still thanking God. Do you know how powerful that is for a worship leader who's supposed to stand up here? You move me. You motivate me. It's easy to praise God for the blessing. It's hard to praise God even though I'm going through tough stuff. It's hard to look past the pain and recognize and see what the pain is producing. I don't thank God for the pain. I will not thank God for the pain because I don't believe the pain is from God. I don't believe God gives that pain. That's not the God that I serve. That's not the God that I worship. But I do believe that our God is able to use that in a way to increase purpose in your life. When you can say that I have eaten at the table of the Lord long enough to know and trust that my God's got this. And he's already prepared a feast for me. And I know that because I've walked with you, God. I've abided with you, God. I trust you. I draw near to you. I'm so close to you, God, that I know exactly what you are doing. Let your call be my call. Let your purpose be my purpose. You are the vine and I am the branch. You are my source. You are my sustainer, the one who gives me life. And I just want to thank you. Just want to thank you, God. Thank you, God, for these amazing blessings in my life. For the ways in which you've pulled me through that I didn't see coming. Thank you, God, that even though I am surrounded by tough things, even though I'm surrounded by the presence of my enemies, I know that you will use it for good. So God, trust you. Would you teach me to abide in your presence? Would you teach me to draw close to you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with a heart of praise and thanksgiving. Because you, Lord, are so faithful. You are so faithful. and your mercies are endless. Your grace knows no limits. And I thank you that even though I may be in the presence of enemies, that you are with me. You are with me. And even though it may look like I'm down and out, like I'm surrounded by the enemy and there's nowhere to turn and there's nowhere to go, I know that in the reality of it, that I am surrounded by you, that you have protected me and you've shielded me and you've taken care of me and you've held me in your hand. God, we put our focus on you. We turn our hearts to you. We trust in you. We love you. We abide with you. In Jesus' name, amen.